A very good Tuesday and welcome here to the Daily Ag Newsmaker Interview. I'm Lori Boyer, and today I check in with U.S. Meat Export Federation. Cheyenne Meckendeffer joins me. She is the Director of Export Services and Access. Welcome to the show here today, Cheyenne. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. It's been a little while since we've had you on, but I know you and I have talked before. Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah. So I live in Sterling in Northeast Colorado, and my day job is, as was mentioned, market access and export services for the U.S. Meat Export Federation. So USMEF primary function is to market U.S. red meat globally, but I have a colleague and myself who make sure that the markets are open to export that meat, and we also help our exporters navigate the tricky export requirements and troubleshoot those loads if they get stuck at a foreign port of entry. That's my day job. We also run a registered balancer, Gelvy, Angus, cow-calf operation here in Northeast Colorado and help with the family dry land farm in New Raymer.
Tell me what your day-to-day with the U.S. Meat Export Federation particularly, tell me what a day looks like for you.
Yeah, so first of all, I mean, export services is a critical component of what we do. So exporting it's tricky. It's expensive. It can get complicated very quickly due to many things such as regulatory requirements, customs requirements, you know, high-level political fights can cause issues for us at foreign ports of entry. So it's something that we need to keep an eye on. And so every morning we start by seeing if there's any new export requirements is posted in what we call the USDA Export Library. And we make sure that we understand what those changes were. We will notify our membership through a daily exporter update. So we'll make sure we're seeing anything new happening globally and both with our regulators here on the U.S. side that can impact exports. And then I troubleshoot any questions I get throughout the day. Hey, I have an inspector asking about this documentation. You know, they're questioning, you know, why I did it this way, why I labeled this way. Or, hey, I have a load stuck in Colombia. Can you help me? And we work very closely both with USDA in Washington, D.C., as well as our foreign ag service folks in embassies all around the world to keep product flowing because stuck shipments don't help anyone in the supply chain. So, and then we just keep track of various market access issues. So these could be markets that are totally closed. Luckily, we continue to narrow those down, so there's not a huge number of those. But we also work on just trade nuisances. You know, if we have outstanding labeling concerns for Colombia, we want to see pork off all access for South Africa. You know, things like that. We continue to work, again, with our partners at USDA and the U.S. Trade Representative in Washington, D.C., but also with other trade associations like National Pork Producers Council, National Cattlemen's Beef Association, North American Meat Institute, et cetera. So every morning can be very different.
So in your particular role, you have to know a lot about like certifications, inspections, like a lot of those details then to be able to help, right?
I do. And my coverage is Canada, Latin America, Caribbean, Africa, Europe, Russia, which we don't export to, but the former Soviet states and the CIS territory in Central Asia. So there's about 80 plus countries total. So we have to have a very firm understanding of what the export certification process looks like under USDA here in the U.S. And, you know, that could happen at slaughter plants, that could happen at processing plants. That certification usually happens at cold storages. So we work with many different partners here to get that product out. But also, you know, having a basic understanding of how these foreign markets work, because not all the information is listed in that USDA database. So we are just familiar with, hey, I know that Colombia is going to be really strict on the cleanliness of your container. Hey, South Africa may test your load for salmonella. This is something you need to be aware of before you ship. So we have to bring a lot of that intel that's not posted publicly anywhere to our exporters to make sure they have a heads up, especially if they're working in a new market.
So that brings up another point then is that the consistency isn't the same from country to country. So you really have to know those nuances and know the differences so that you can efficiently move through that.
Absolutely, because, you know, if we have a stuck shipment, you know, frozen is one thing, but it can get very expensive for both our exporters and our importers. But if we look like at a market like Europe, where we're typically shipping chilled beef, where we have 100-day or less shelf life, you know, by the time that product moves, say, from Nebraska to the East Coast to get to a port, loaded onto a container, loaded onto a container ship, sails across the Atlantic, lands in Rotterdam, and then if they face issues clearing that product, they have to hard copy or courier, you know, or FedEx those hard copy certificates back to the U.S. if they need to get new certificates from USDA. That can be very, very costly once they have to pay demurrage charges for that product to be stuck, you know, at a foreign port of entry, or if that container doesn't get released and they have to bring it back to the U.S. or reroute it to another export market. It adds cost to the whole chain, and it makes folks, you know, not want to mess with the export process. So the more educated we are, the more we can convey that to our membership and the more closely we can work with USDA to help alleviate some of those issues, both on the education and troubleshooting side, you know, the better it is for the entire supply chain to keep that export value intact.
All right, Cheyenne, good stuff. These are things I guess we know, but we don't really know, if that makes any sense. We don't really think about all those little details that you're going over. I'm curious, with all this supply chain issues that we keep hearing about, how is that affecting you or changing what you're doing?
It's a huge component of what we hear, and we hear daily from our exporters, and we're very engaged on that, again, with other trade groups in Washington as well. So we're still on track to have record exports this year, which goes to show, you know, just the strength of the demand for our high-quality protein coming out of the U.S. So our customers have been very patient working with us, but we do have concerns. You know, some of our chilled beef suppliers in Korea are saying, hey, you know, are you going to be able to get containers? Are those ships going to be able to get on time, you know, out of the U.S. on time? Because if we're supplying chilled beef to Costco's in Korea, we have to have, you know, that consistency in supply. So concerns about getting containers for our meat exports, getting those containers to, you know, the specific ports, primarily on the West Coast, which is where most of our meat global exports leave out of. And if those ships don't leave on time, they can't get containers, they can't get transportation to get containers in and out of there. All of that backs up, and it adds a lot of concern to the chain. So it's a huge focus of what us and others in the industry are looking at. And we have been writing it out pretty well, but it's a major concern because we are known as consistent suppliers to our global customers. And if they can't get the product, then they will look elsewhere. And especially when we look at markets where we ship chilled product, like Korea, Japan, et cetera, those high-volume markets, you know, we're looking at 60 days or less shelf life on pork, as I said, 100 days or less on the beef side. We just don't have time to have containers sitting anywhere, really, because we want them to have, you know, adequate shelf life to use that product as needed once it gets to that market. So especially, you know, as we've continued to build up our chilled high-value exports to markets all around the world, you know, we're even doing a little bit of chilled to places like Chile, Europe, I mentioned. It causes concern for our importers on, hey, are you going to get me my product on time? So it's definitely impacting us, like all ag exports, for sure.
Okay. Cheyenne, we just have a little bit of time left. Anything else to mention that I haven't asked about or that you think is interesting to add into this conversation?
Yeah, the only other thing I'd mention is we're really focusing on messaging. You know, U.S. red meat has been known for its safety and high quality. You know, our grain finishing model really plays into some of the highest quality meat in the world. On the beef side, that is unique compared to some of our other competitors. That's been our messaging for decades. We're also very much focused on bringing in messaging on, you know, having some of the most robust animal welfare programs in the U.S. or in the world, on the producer side with our commercial programs like beef quality assurance, and then some of the tightest, I'd say, animal welfare requirements, both federally and third party, at our slaughter plants. So we convey that because, we've been a little bit behind on the ball game and kind of let some markets like Europe take over. And then same on sustainability. We've seen competitors like Australia, Irish Beef, which is not a huge player on the global market, but they've done really good about their sustainability messaging in the past. And we're really ramping that up as well because we have a great story to tell. Again, our grain finishing model provides huge benefits as far as emissions as well as resource use. So we continue to talk about the good things we're doing on that side as well, because that's something our global customers are asking about. And we have a good story. We're just making sure that we get that to them so they can feel good about buying U.S. meat on all fronts.
Okay. Good conversation today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Once again, that was Cheyenne Meckendeffer. She is the U.S. Meat Export Federation Director of Export Services and Access, and I'm Lori Boyer.